May the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation.
Amen.
I can vividly remember the very first time that I preached a sermon on a Sunday morning. It was a summer just before I began seminary. The bishop had given permission to an incumbent of a small rural parish for me to lead their Sunday worship while he was away on vacation. Now, the parish was near my hometown, and on that very first Sunday, both my mother, my stepfather, and my grandparents were in the congregation. There was no pressure at all. I cannot remember what I said, but I remember the gospel story for that particular Sunday very well. And I can tell you that I was nervous. The gospel story for that Sunday was the story of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. If you don't remember the story, the Syrophoenician woman comes to Jesus asking him to cure her daughter, who is possessed by an unclean spirit. She begs him to cure her, and Jesus says that it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And she replies, even the dogs under the table get to eat the children's crumbs. When Jesus hears this, he tells the woman that she may go, for the unclean spirit has left her daughter. So you can imagine, with a text like that, nervousness abounded. I still get nervous when I preach on that particular text. I had not had any training in how to write a sermon or even how to critically look at scripture texts. The incumbent had loaned me a few books to look at for those Sundays, and I agonized over that sermon for the entire week. And finally, on the Sunday morning, I delivered my first sermon. I must have done an all right job that summer because I was invited back for the next two summers. Now, today's gospel story is not Jesus' first sermon, because Jesus has been walking and teaching around Galilee, and people thought well of him. As Luke tells the story, when Jesus arrives in Nazareth, where he had been brought up, this is the first place that we hear Jesus teaching. And so the scene functions as a kind of manifesto at the beginning of his work. And this makes it all the more striking that Luke chooses to begin this episode, as opposed to, say, a scene from an earlier synagogue where Jesus was praised by everyone. Because we shall see next week, in the end of the story, his hometown rejects him with indignant rage. In the synagogue, Jesus is handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolls it to the place he has in mind and begins to read, ending with a phrase, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." A notion that would have reminded the people gathered there about the Jubilee year, a legendary time of freeing enslaved people, canceling debts, and renewing dignity, including the renewal of the land itself. When Jesus has finished reading, he sits down, which is the traditional posture of a teacher. And the passage he just read, he explains, should be heard only as word, not only as words that Isaiah wrote so long ago in a land far away. They need to be heard as Jesus' own words, here and now, applying directly, right before their eyes. It is as if Jesus is saying, "The Spirit of God is upon me, sitting here with you right now. God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed." And that great jubilee that you've been waiting for and heard all about, that long-awaited year of the Lord's favor, I'm telling you now, it has begun. Today, in your hearing, it has begun. And this scripture is fulfilled. This story answers for us one of the questions of what is Jesus' ministry all about? In short, for Luke, it is about proclaiming the dawn of the great Jubilee, a new era of liberation and return. And accordingly, this good news comes first of all not to the free, but to the captives, not to the strong, but to the vulnerable. In this, his first teaching of his ministry, Jesus is crystal clear that the gospel is above all about God lifting up the lowly. Words we have heard ring out not so long ago in Advent when we proclaimed the song of Mary, the Magnificat, where Mary proclaimed, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." But the Jubilee ideal is not only for the benefit of the lowly, it is also for the health of creation as a whole. Everyone benefits when liberty and well-being extends across the entire community. And that is the heart of the Jubilee. Accordingly, for Luke, following Jesus isn't primarily about chasing down our own personal salvation, but rather about serving others, especially those who are in need. Indeed, this is how Jesus begins his public teaching, with a call to serve, and starting with the most vulnerable, and ultimately for the love of the whole world. And how does Jesus end his public teaching 18 chapters later in Luke's gospel? Jesus tells his disciples and us, "The greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." It's not only Jesus who has the Spirit of God upon him. We do too, and we are called to the same mission that Jesus proclaims. Listen to the Eucharistic prayer this morning. And in this prayer, these words will be spoken. "Breathe your Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the universe, upon these gifts that we bring to you, this bread, this cup, ourselves, our souls and bodies, that we may be signs of your love for all the world and ministers of your transforming purpose." In these words, we are being reminded that we play a part in this world to help transform it into God's realm of love. Jesus' words are not just words spoken long ago in a land far away. These words call us to the ministry of Jesus, to participate in making them come alive and change the world around us. It wasn't long ago that the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in the midst of the community in Galilee. And this prophecy is being filled in our community today, in our midst, by in our hearts, in our hands, and in our voices. May we have the courage and grace to be instruments of God's transforming purpose in the lives of everyone that we meet. Amen.